Our scripture this morning, it comes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of a messenger who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God rules. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have really missed y'all. 1 week away, and I think about how much I have missed y'all, and I am sure that everybody remembers exactly where we left off 2 weeks ago, because nothing else has happened in life, right? 2 weeks ago, we used the same scripture verse as we talked about what it looked like to be messengers of peace and to proclaim the good news. We talked about making space and opening places in our life for God to work that would allow us to speak good news and to be the messengers of peace. Several of you have already talked about what you think that might look like in your world. You have shared stories with Suzanne and I about ways that you are being inspired to kind of let God use you in that way. And that's exciting. And if you have stories, we would love to hear them. But if we are going to be people who are messengers who bring good news and peace to our world, then we have to begin in a place of radical welcome. Welcoming like Jesus. In the scripture, over and over again, Jesus provides us with examples of welcoming people well. And one of those scriptures comes from Matthew 9, and it's verses 9 through 12. And I want you to just take a moment to imagine this scene. As Jesus continued on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. As Jesus sat down to eat in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus heard this and he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy, not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but to sinners." So Matthew, we know about Matthew. We know that Matthew was a tax collector. We know that he was despised in town. Nobody liked the local tax collector. And we know about this calling of Matthew, but in this scripture it says something. It says, Jesus sat down with Matthew and with other tax collectors and sinners. I find this wording very interesting because the writer of this gospel is trying to make a point. Jesus picked the wrong crowd. You know, there's the right crowd and there's the wrong crowd. Our parents teach us this when we're little. Our parents say, you need to be around the right crowd. I don't think any parent ever says, go find the wrong crowd and hang out with them. From an early age, we know what the right crowd is. The right crowd is the crowd that fits with us. It's the people that make us feel comfortable. The right crowd is people who have the same worldview as us. The right crowd is the one that encourages us to do good things. The right crowd is the people that are most like us. The ones that finish our sentences, the ones that laugh at our jokes, the people that are comfortable, that's the right crowd. But the writer of the gospel is saying, look at Jesus, he's with the wrong crowd. Why do you follow this guy that's hanging out with the wrong crowd? In fact, it says, Jesus ate with the sinners, which I particularly love this because I'm like, y'all, he was eating with anybody, he was eating with the sinners. But those people, those that I want to point out, those ones that are different than me, those people that I can point to their sins, those tax collectors, that's who Jesus was around. He was out with those outcast people. Those were the ones that Jesus chose to eat with, the ones that were on the outside that didn't fit in. This for me rates so high on the reasons that I love Jesus. Because Jesus sought out people who were different to show them love and mercy and grace, and he welcomed them in radical ways. And I am telling you, that draws me to Jesus. And I think I know why that draws me to Jesus, because when I'm real honest with myself, I too am a sinner in need of grace, and I want somebody to love me that way, to seek me out and to find me in my brokenness and love me that way. That draws me to Jesus. And as a follower of Jesus, I want to be that in the world. I want to be so embodied with the love of Christ that I can't help but find the wrong crowd and go sit down in the middle of them and be in that place that's uncomfortable, because God loved me so much that God sat in an uncomfortable place because he loved the world. Do you get that? Jesus sat in the uncomfortable place out of love. That is what I want to embody in the world, to love God and to love our neighbor. That is what Wesley called perfection, divine love, love that is not of this world, love that pushes us beyond what is comfortable. That's what Jesus taught. Radical welcome is what Jesus taught. Like Jesus, we can be that. It's going to take some work. It's going to take a pushing and pulling of ourselves, but we can practice that love in the world. Like Jesus, we might be judged for that. Somebody might look at you and say, "Why are they with the wrong crowd? Why are they out there with people that are not like us?" No one said that following Jesus was going to be comfortable. No one said that following Jesus was going to be easy. No one said that it wouldn't challenge us or wouldn't call us to places that we felt alone. And in fact, sometimes following Jesus, living radical welcome, loving other people well, is lonely. But when we hit those times, when we feel like we are alone, we have to remember that we are not. That we are embodied and empowered by the Holy Spirit. God does not call you something. He doesn't call you to something that God does not equip you for. God doesn't call you to be a witness in the world unless God has equipped you with everything you need to do that well. We see this over and over again in Acts. So Acts is the story of how the church came to be. It is the story of how the Holy Spirit took a whole bunch of people, empowered them, and sent them into the world to change it. Beginning in Acts 1:8, it says this, "Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Okay, do you get what that's saying? You're going to be my witnesses, but don't worry, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. Is that exciting? Are y'all excited like you're going to get the Holy Spirit? That's scary too, right? Because if you get the Holy Spirit, then you are going to be called to be witnesses in the world. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to embody you to be a bold witness in the world for Christ. If we continue to read, what Paul is doing. And in Acts 26, Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to a large group of people and to King Agrippa, and this is what he said. "I proclaim first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem, and then to the whole region of Judea and to the Gentiles. And my message was that they should change their hearts and their lives and turn to God, and they should demonstrate this change in their behavior. Because of this, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to murder me, but God has helped me up to this very day." Paul is standing there in front of this huge group of people, and he is saying, "God has helped me in everything I have encountered so that I can be a bold witness in the world." So here's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. God has empowered you through the Holy Spirit to have everything you need to be a bold witness in the world. That's fantastic news. Let me tell you why that is great news. Because it is through the Holy Spirit that a band of 12 apostles who weren't all that special were empowered to go out into the world to spread the message of Christ that has led to you sitting in this very room right now. Now that feels like good news, right? No. That is great news that there is this God who loves you so very much that God would empower people to spread a message of hope and love and grace and abundant life to the ends of the earth so that we can have forgiveness and redemption and salvation. And when you think about 12 people empowered through the Holy Spirit did this beautiful thing that spread 2,000 years later across the entire earth, that blows my mind. That shows me the incredible power of the Holy Spirit. And that power was not just for that little group of 12 people. It is available for the believers. But here's what we have to do. We have to get on board with that. We have to get on the move. We have the example of the radical welcome of Jesus. We have over and over the example of how the Holy Spirit works. And what is left is for us to get out there and get to it. That looks different for all of us. There is no cookie cutter method for what that looks like. We have to figure out what it is in our life that we are comfortable with, not too comfortable, that we don't push ourselves a little bit, but something that's an authentic way of talking about God in the world. It's important that we find that space that's authentic to us, so that we can go to someone and we can share God's story. It may be something like, hey, you're a friend, why don't you come with me to church? Sit with me and I'll take you to lunch. Maybe it's, there's a new book study or Bible study that's coming up. Wouldn't you like to come with me? Perhaps it's, you have a really cute dog. Come with me to Blessing of the Animals. Maybe it's a, you're on my heart and I want to pray for you. Maybe it's a card or an email or a text message. There's no perfect way for everybody to do the very same thing, but it's something that we can find that's authentic to us that helps others see God. Whatever it is that's right for you, you have to lean into that. You have to be able to find ways to authentically share God's love. It is amazing to me that we're sitting here today talking about the good news of Christ. Because just a small group of people, empowered by the Holy Spirit, through generations and generations built upon the beautiful message of Christ until we sit here today. We are sitting in a lineage of Christianity that is absolutely beautiful. But that causes us to have some responsibility. Because if the message of Christ is going to continue, then we are the ones it depends on. We are the next link. We are the ones that have to step up. We are the ones that have to find our authentic voice to show others what radical welcome looks like, to show God what the hands and feet, to show others what God's hands and feet look like in the world. It depends upon us. I am so very thankful that the generation before me didn't just say, this is somebody else's job, because then I wouldn't be here today. And I take that responsibility very seriously, and I hope that you do too. The gospel of Christ is a beautiful story that we are a part of, but it's a beautiful responsibility that we are to carry on in the world. We have the example of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do incredible things, but we have to choose to allow God to work in our life in ways that continues the beautiful message. I hope that we will all be messengers of love, of peace, and of good news, because we truly have a story that not only changes lives, but changes the world. What will you do with that beautiful story? Amen.